SBS Radio.
The Pacific Unite Saving Lives Together virtual concert will be held this Saturday, August 15, and I'm pleased to have on the other end of the line from Fiji, Mia Kami, one of the key performers in the event. Mia Kami is a singer, songwriter, and broadcaster based in Suva. Welcome to NITV Radio, Mia.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, now this is a concert that's organized together with the United Nations, and it's part of the global goal concept, bringing people from the Pacific all together for one cause.
This concert is an opportunity for Pacific artists to come together, to stand in solidarity with the rest of the region, just to help recognize that we can stand together in this fight against COVID and that we also have a role in our communities to help adapt to this new normal that's coming about with all of these changes and these different restrictions around gatherings and things like that. And so a big part of Pacific culture is, of course, music. And I think this concert is the perfect way to bring people together because I do believe that music has a very special way of bringing people together and connecting people together as well.
You're a musician and a broadcaster, so you know what you're talking about.
So for me, I'm Tongan, yeah. But I'm based in Fiji. So I was lucky enough to be contacted to ask to join the concert as a rep for Tonga.
Yeah.
So it's a real privilege to be representing my country from here.
How is the situation there under this? Because you're going to be raising awareness about the situation. But how is it, the situation? How is Fiji and also Tonga, your home country, in this tough time of COVID-19?
For Tonga right now, Tonga has been very strict on the numbers that they're bringing into the country.
Yeah.
Since the lockdown started in March, they've actually only accepted one or two flights from overseas countries. And currently my mom and my little sister are actually stuck in Tonga as well due to the lockdown of the borders. There's been no cases in Tonga, which is very fortunate because unfortunately Tonga doesn't have the resources to tend to the pandemic as well. So it's completely understandable that they're doing everything they can to make sure that there aren't any cases in the country.
Yeah, they have to protect the people. That's the most important.
Yes, of course. And with regard to Fiji, it's been very good here as well. Some of the cases that we did get in the first couple of months, they've all cured. We've only had one COVID death. In the meantime, right now, they're looking at how they can open borders to a Pacific bubble where they'll be accepting Pacific countries in.
Yeah.
But that's still in the works as well. So far, the COVID restrictions have limited the numbers of social gatherings. We have a curfew as well, just to ensure that there's not too much movement. There's also rules of social distancing. And so Fiji's done a good job maintaining this, which I think is very impressive.
And how are the people, the youth, how are they responding to these new conditions? Because I can see here in Australia, where I'm calling from, the youth are having a difficulty obeying the rules. And I'm calling from Melbourne, actually, the epicenter of COVID in Australia. And the youth are really struggling. How are the young people in Fiji and Tonga reacting to the tough conditions?
It's being handled quite well. There have been breaches of certain social gatherings. For example, in the first couple of months, there was a restriction on having kava sessions, kava, the traditional drink here. And so there was some breaches of that because, of course, it's normal here to have a grog session with your family and friends during the week. So that was definitely a difficult one. And there have been some breaches of curfew. Other than that, there has been a general understanding on the importance of these restrictions.
Yeah.
Because, of course, we also understand as a community that we also don't have full access to a lot of the resources that could treat patients. So there definitely is very good response from the people here.
Yeah.
Of course, every country would have its, you know, those that contest these restrictions, but so does every other country as well.
Yeah.
But I think the response from Fiji has been very good, and it's been very impressive as well.
And the frontline workers, how are the frontline essential workers doing in your part of the world?
Unfortunately, on my end, I don't know enough about that area to really share, but I do have family that is currently in the Fiji School of Medicine, where they're studying to be doctors. And they have been a part of the process where they've been present in hospitals tending to patients that might be of risk or anything like that. And the hospitals here have managed to maintain restrictions on how many people go into the hospitals, as well as social distancing where people can't sit too close to each other and things like that. And so it's definitely amazing to see how the essential service workers have adapted to these changes, which of course links right back to why this Unite concert, this specific Unite concert, can be such a beautiful thing, recognizing all the work that these essential workers have put in to ensure that Fiji is able to come out of this okay. Yeah. And that the Pacific is able to come out of this okay.
Yeah. How is tourism and other sectors of life, especially tourism, the area is renowned for great tourist destinations. How are you guys doing there in that sense?
That's an interesting question because, of course, since we're not getting people in, we're not getting tourists in. So for the first time in a long time, business owners are currently looking at tapping into the local market, which I think is amazing. And I think it's what's needed to be done for a very long time. Because local business owners are now benefiting from this, where they're able to tap into the local market, they're able to communicate with locals, and there's been discount prices as well so that locals are able to enjoy that sector of the community. While the tourism industry is suffering, they've also managed to kind of tap into the local market, which I think is a good thing as well.
Yeah.
Fortunately, of course, there have been really big effects on businesses that are heavily dependent on tourism.
Yeah, those dependent on international travel, international tourism, because also most of the cruises that travel around the Pacific, while they stop in Suva or any other islands in there, and now that market is gone for now. One other thing is the environment. What we've noticed in some other parts of the world, even here in Australia, with the reduction in traffic, in people movement and economic activities, we've seen a recovery somehow in the environment. The rivers are a little bit cleaner, the waterways, even the forests are a little bit cleaner. How is the situation back home environment-wise?
It's a bit hard to tell now because we've basically gone back to our normal day-to-day lives now where we have traffic back again, school started up again. But I think a really big benefit that would have come out with regard to environment is that a lot of families got into gardening.
Yeah.
And they've tapped into their abilities to garden, and they're growing their own food. For example, my own dad as well, he's picked up gardening. So we have this fresh new garden in the back where we're growing our own vegetables. I think that's a positive impact that COVID has had on families here, because it also just means that as Pacific people, we're going back to the ways of our ancestors as well. And it's sustainable. We're able to live healthier as well. And so that's definitely an environmental impact that I've seen on a more personal level.
Yeah. No, it's a positive thing there because people get to reconnect with country, with nature.
And, exactly.
Get probably healthier food because it's food you've grown, you've seen it grow, you know what you're eating, you know what's been put in there. It's not like these things that you get off the market. You don't know what kind of fertilizers they've used and what kind of chemicals you're ingesting. And let's get back to the concert. I've never seen a virtual concert. Explain to me how this thing is going to work.
The way the concert's going to work is that on this Saturday, at 7 p.m. Fiji time, they will be live streaming the concert. So basically the way that we did it was the UN team had contacted different artists in the region, asked them to record themselves singing an original song or any item that would link to the concert's objectives.
Yeah.
And so, different artists had provided either a video that they recorded a new one or an existing one. And for myself, I had met up with some video guys here. We had recorded my performance at the local museum here. It's basically a compilation of different performances from different artists around the region, and it's broadcasted this weekend.
Yeah.
And so it's just played right throughout, and then there's also a host who will be hosting it as well. So it's basically like a real-life concert, except you are watching it through your screens.
Yeah, and normally I would imagine a concert is a place full of youngsters and screaming, dancing, and having some good time. But this time it will be virtual. So Here comes a question about the togetherness again. This is something Pacific regions are known for, this sense of togetherness and shared values. How have these been affected by COVID?
Well, the biggest way that connectedness has been disrupted is definitely the borders closing on each other.
Yeah.
It's, of course, restricted movement for families that are stuck in different countries. It's also become a concern of how Pacific leaders come together during this time to come up with new ways that we can continue this relationship between countries without putting their people at risk. That's definitely one of the biggest ways that I personally have seen impacted. As I had mentioned earlier, I've got my family members stuck in Tonga. I've got a grandmother in New Zealand. And the uncertainty of everything has definitely affected how connected we are as a region. But at the same time as well, it's also shown a lot of solidarity between countries with regards to how we choose to stand together in solidarity. Yeah, I definitely say, though, that a big impact on the connectedness between countries is definitely the closing of borders and just restricted movement and what that would mean for families that are apart.
Yeah. Now, anything you'd like to talk about that we haven't covered that I missed in my many questions?
I would like to talk a bit more on what the concert would mean in terms of solidarity and unity. The concert's purpose is to show that we as a region can stand together in solidarity. And another thing that I just wanted to point out is that through this stance of standing in solidarity and being in unity, it can also help kind of encourage equality amongst our regions with regard to treatment, protection, especially those that are most vulnerable, and building back into a better region by the end of it, instead of coming out as a region that was badly hurt and horribly affected by the pandemic. It's just an opportunity to show that in spite of all these changes, in spite of all these challenges, we are still able to come together with any means that we can, to show that we can stand together in these hard times. Because at the end of the day, only we can help fix a better, a brighter future for those that are going to take on the region as well, for the Pacific people of the future.
Yeah.
And as I had said earlier as well, like, music has this beautiful way of showing that.
Yeah.
And just by having all these different artists from different parts of the region, it just shows that no matter what country we're in, no matter what language we speak, no matter what traditions, what cultures, no matter the differences, music is our connection, as well as this one ocean that we all live in together.
Yeah.
And so I just thought I just wanted to mention that.
Now, another thing I would like to ask is about medical evacuations, because we rely on international transport for medical evacuations, because I know in the islands some of the treatments are not readily available and people would have to travel to either New Zealand or Australia for specialist treatment. So what's the situation now that international travel is all but at a standstill?
That's true. I definitely know of a personal case where one of my family members fell ill, and he had to request for a special reason of travel. It's definitely not granted to everyone, but I think it has to be a very, very high risk reason of travel. And another unfortunate case as well was, I had a member of my church community there. They had a family member pass away here. And they wanted to take the body back to Tonga, but because of the restrictions, they were unable to. So they had to wait until they could get an opportunity to send the body over. And so there's definitely a lot of complications with a lot more of the medical things, and of course with funerals and loss and things like that. But I do hope that we're all able to come together during this time and find reason to stand together in solidarity against these changing times.
Yeah. Now, when you speak about solidarity, I also think about, you know, we're talking about this pandemic, but also before we even spoke about this, there was solidarity because of the global warming affecting a lot of the islands that are going to be submerged if we don't take action now.
Yes.
And is it a theme you'll be covering, or maybe passing theme during the concert, or this is something that you'll be covering at a later date? Because I know you're involved in that field as well.
Yeah, well, for me, I'm very big on climate activism, and I'm part of an organization here that focuses on climate activism as well. And you can definitely see that this pandemic has not only shown that we can stand in solidarity, but it's also brought forward these existing issues such as climate change. And it's an opportunity where we've seen that for years, climate activists have fought for change. These changes that we need are, of course, they're very demanding, you know, like it's cut down on fossil fuels and cut down on air travel and things like that. And for years, it's a lot of other countries have said that's difficult. But then this pandemic came around and suddenly world leaders were able to do so. All of these changes that climate activists have been begging for to help help prevent climate change or to help improve the current state of the earth. And so now that this pandemic has come around, we can see that these changes are possible. So I think that the concert does have the potential to show that we are able to make these big changes, because the Pacific is directly affected and we're seeing the changes right now. Immediate action is what we need. And if immediate action can happen with the pandemic, immediate action can happen with climate resolutions.
Yeah, that would be my parting word. Thank you so much, Mia, for accepting the interview and really being very generous with your time. We've had a really good coverage of most of the topics.
Thank you very much.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.